never do X, Y, and Z. And then you have a kid and you realize children are not Make-A Bears, you know, workshop. You don't just get a prototype and then decide that you get to mold and make it into your own thing. That human beings are human beings and they have their own mind. And you have to kind of deal with what God has given you. You have to be nice and kind and figure it out and like manage and all these different things. So today, inshallah, the verses that we're gonna actually take a step back and go to the verse in which after Yusuf alayhi salam is being seduced by someone who that's supposed to take care of him, the response of the community is very interesting. So you have here that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in verse number 30, وَقَالَ نِسْوَةٌ فِي الْمَدِينَةِ, that a group of women from the city, they say, إِمْرَأَةُ Aziz, the wife of the Aziz, تُرَاوِدُ فَتَاهَا عَنْ نَفْسِهِ. She tried to seduce the assistant that was inside of her home. قَدَ شَغَفَهَا حُبًّا, that she became engulfed in love. وَإِنَّا لَنَرَاهَا فِي الضَّلَالٍ مُبِينٍ, and we surely see that she was in wrong. Now, sometimes we see things on the surface, and it seems like one thing, and I'm not excusing her action, but I am saying that you cannot be a person to cast blame on someone in a way that's so public, and judgment in a way that's so public, as if you yourself are perfect, right? We see wrong and we say that's wrong. Khalas. You see wrong, you should say that that is wrong. But if someone makes a mistake, someone does something wrong, to go out and blast their wrong, not having the details, were these people a part of the investigation? No. Were these people in the home? No. Were these people there? Did they even have proper information about what happened? No. Now, someone may say, well, we're in a time where people are trying to hide the wrongs of others and what they've done and all these things. There's a difference, right? There's a difference between someone's actions not being taken care of, because what did they do? They had this entire trial situation where they say, okay, let's figure out who's in the wrong. And they were able to figure out who's in the wrong. Make sense? So they already dealt with it. Now these people are coming out like TMZ, okay, and they have this level of suspicion, and after having this suspicion, they want to confirm that suspicion, and after confirming it, then they decide that, okay, now everybody needs to know this information. That's not how it works. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in Surah Al-Hujurat, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu, O you who believe, ijtanibu kathiran min al-dhan. Stay away from having a lot of suspicions and assumptions. What's interesting about assumption is that it's kind of like, you know, you have people who are super observant by a fault, like maybe even naturally. I'm a natural observant human to the point where I just turn my brain off when I'm walking around because I don't want to see nothing I'm not supposed to see. And it can be something as simple as someone like reprimanding their child, you know, with like a side eye. And I'm like, oop, that kid's in trouble. You know, there was no words. Technically, there was not much emotion that was given. It's just I happened to catch that side eye. I don't want to catch no more sciatics. I don't. I really don't. I don't want to be in no one's business. So you kind of walk away. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that a person has this level of dhan. Dhan is where you kind of suspect a little bit. You know, sometimes somebody sees like, oh, this person's not posting their spouse anymore. I wonder what's going on. Why are you wondering? Why? Is that your marriage? Are you the one who's going to help them get back together if they're not together? Does it benefit you in any way? Does it take away from you in any way? Are you contributing to this person's household in any way? And imagine you were in that situation and someone is wishing something like that upon you when that's not even the case. Perhaps maybe you just decided to become a private person out of nowhere. That's your business and your prerogative. But then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّ بَعْضَ ظَنِّي إِثْمٍ, that remember that after you have this level of suspicion comes sin. Why? Because when someone has a thought in their head that they let linger, they then want to go and confirm it, right? So then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَا تَجَسَّسُوا, then don't go out and start to investigate. Oh, let me go back to see when's the last time she posted. That's being nosy. That is someone spying on somebody. That is investigating. Now, when you confirm your suspicion, what is the next thing you're going to do? Can't keep this information to yourself. You're going to go and tell somebody. So then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَا يَغُتَبْ بَعْدُكُمْ بَعْدًا. And don't go and talk badly about each other. Don't go and speak and backbite about one another. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives one of the most vile examples in the Quran. He says, أَيُحِبُّ أَحَدُكُمْ. Do any of you love? And يَأْكُلَ لَحْمَ أَخِيهِ مَيْتًا. To eat the dead flesh of your brother or sister. And essentially what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying is that just like it would be terrible for someone to walk out and like be a cannibal, that's how disgusting it is to talk about somebody in a way that just all started from a rumor. It started from a suspicion that you had. It started from a fleeting thought that you had in your mind. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَكَرِهْتُمُوهُ. But you would have hated it. You would have hated to do that. So essentially, they were in this situation where they kind of heard something, and then they had this suspicion. And after having it, they started to say, like, oh, she's such a terrible person. How could she do such a thing? This person was there to help her. And granted, the action that she did was wrong. But they were not the judge and the jury to be able to bring that forward. So then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us the next detail of what happened. فَلَمَّا سَمِعَتْ بِمَكْرِهِنَّ. So when she heard of what they schemed, not what they said, it is as if they were getting to little like circles and spreading these things about her. أَرْسَلَتْ إِلَيْهِنَّ. She then sent an invitation for them. وَأَعْتَدَتْ لَهُنَّ مُتَّكَأً. And then she presented or prepared for them like a dinner. So she said, everybody come out. Now you think it's cute to go to your little dinners and make like your little bouquets and stuff like that. Listen, the wife of the Aziz had plans way before you, all right? So she prepares a little banquet. But this was a, everybody come here and cook your own food thing. Okay, hibachi before hibachi was a thing, right? Homemade hibachi. So she says, it says, وَآتَتْ كُلَّ وَاحِدَةٍ مِنْهُنَّ سِكِّينًا. And she gave each of them a knife. وَقَالَتْ اخْرُجْ عَلَيْهِنَّ. And then she told Yusuf alayhi salam to come out. فَلَمَّا رَأَيْنَهُ. When they saw him, أَكْبَرْنَهُ وَقَطَعْنَا أَيْدِيَهُنَّ. They were taken aback by his beauty, and they cut their hands. Now, some people say maybe it was like a little cut. Some of the Mufassirun actually say that the type of meal she gave them, what she gave them to like pill, was something that was really hard. So they weren't realizing that they were actually cutting their hand because they were taken aback by his beauty. And then they said, وَقُلْنَا حَاشَ لِلَّهِ. They said, oh, how perfect is Allah. مَا هَذَا بَشَرًا إِنْ هَذَا إِلَّا مَلَكٌ كَرِيمٌ. That this is not a human, can't be. This has to be an angel. The Prophet ﷺ narrates that when he went for Isra and Miraj, he went to the third level of heaven. And he went there, and he says he saw Yusuf alayhi salam. And his response was, فَإِذَا هُوَ قَدْ أُوتِيتَ شَطْرَ الْحُسْنِ. That Yusuf alayhi salam was given half of the beauty of the entire world. Okay, so like things that you find to be beautiful in this world, all of that together is considered to be half. And Yusuf alayhi salam was given half of the beauty of the world. So for them, they see this, and they find themselves to be in awe of Yusuf alayhi salam. But it doesn't stop there. Qalat, she then looked at them and she said, فَذَلِكُنَّ الَّذِي لُمْتُنَّنِي فِي. This is what you guys blamed me for. So you were out there running your mouth and you didn't realize what I was dealing with. Doesn't make it okay. It doesn't make it okay though. What her point? Her point, accurate. Don't talk about something you have no idea about. But the way she went about it, what she accused them of, and what she was accused of was wrong. It was wrong. What she did was wrong. She committed a wrong act, and she should have stood trial for that wrong act. But instead, she invites these women over, and she has Yusuf alayhi salam come out to them. And then it says, وَلَقَدْ رَاوَدْتُهُ عَنْ نَفْسِهِ فَاسْتَعْصَمَ. She says, I did try to seduce him, but he refused. But she doesn't even just say he refused. She almost says, like, he firmly disobeyed me. Like, he really went the other direction. وَلَئِنْ لَمْ يَفْعَلْ مَا أَمْرُهُ لَيُسْجَنَنَّ وَلَيَكُونَنْ مِنَ الصَّاغِرِينَ. He then says, they then said, if he will not do what I order him to do, then he will surely be imprisoned and he will be amongst those who will have no value. Like, I'm going to actually ruin him, or he should act in this way. Now, Yusuf alayhi salam is now faced in this situation again. First time, fine. We'll say it's the first time. And what did the Aziz tell him? He says, Yusuf a'arid an hadha. Just turn away, let it go, keep it pushing. The Aziz then turned to his wife, and he says to her that you should seek forgiveness from God. That is your responsibility. Tawbah is a powerful thing. Tawbah is a powerful thing. Why? Because it allows a person to not keep falling into the same trap that they have been falling into. When you realize that you're doing something wrong, it is still hard to not do it. But at least in your head, you're doing something wrong. Does that make sense? At least in your head, you know I'm doing something wrong. So you will feel bad. Maybe you will even have some type of shame for other people to know the wrong that you've done. Maybe you will even hide your feelings. Maybe you will even retreat into yourself. You would do something else, even if you are committing that sin still, that doesn't make it seem like it's okay. But when she calls these women over, she is proving a point to them. And she's proving to them that if you were in my situation, you would have done the same thing. But that's kind of justifying her action. It doesn't seem like she's in complete, you know, disregard. She's in complete sadness for what she had done. In fact, she doubles down. If he doesn't do what I ask him to do, then it's going to be a problem. And in some of the narrations, you find that they then say that, yeah, you better do what she's asking you to do. As if all of these women start to gang up on Yusuf alayhi salam. But now look at where they're at. Because they were high and mighty. They were so holier than thou. They were the, I would never be in that situation. You cannot catch me red-handed in anything. I would be caught dead before I do X, Y, and Z. Well, guess what? You're alive and you're still doing it wrong. And it's so important for us that when we see something that is not good and someone does something that is wrong, and though we may feel like we may never be that person, we ask Allah to protect us. Because what we are able to have a level of control over of our nafs is not because of our own ability. It really isn't. We cannot resist food sometimes. What makes you think you can resist like big temptation? Sometimes the simplest thing, you're tired, you know you should go to sleep, and you can't resist being on your phone. But you think that if you get tested with a big test, all of a sudden you have like this really good handle on your nafs? Doesn't work like that. What we are able to accomplish and what we're able to push through, we're able to accomplish it and push through it by the help of Allah. And the little effort that we make, the little effort that we make in control of our nafs, the little effort that we put forward in trying to build good character, the little effort that we put forward in trying to have good habits, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala puts barakah in that. And that is why we're able to see results in our life. That is why we're able to say, okay, this time I'm not going to do this again. That's why Tawbah is powerful. Because with Tawbah, you're recognizing who's in charge. Allah is in charge. You're turning back to Allah. You're reminding yourself that I cannot do this without the help and the guidance of Allah. You ever wonder why the 12 steps that an addict has to like really talk about in order for them when they go to AA is God-centric? Literally, one of the statements is, I cannot get through this without the power of God. And if someone does not believe in God, then they say without the power of some higher authority. God. Okay? Why? Because the only thing that's going to overcome this is iman. The only thing that's going to overcome this mind of yours is your faith. Sometimes you wake up and you're so dead set convinced on the wrong thing. Convinced on it. This is the way of life. This is the path. And sometimes we're really willing to sacrifice relationships because of it. We're willing to say, actually, this person doesn't know anything. And if they truly knew, they would be on my side. And it just takes Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala giving us one little perspective switch. Sometimes it takes Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala giving us one little experience. Sometimes it takes Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala giving us one little conversation. And all of a sudden we feel enlightened. No, that was the guidance, the hidayah of Allah. That is why you now have clarity in how you're thinking. But when a person thinks of themselves as too big and too far above anything, then that guidance is really hard to enter into. Why? Because it takes humility. It takes humbling oneself and saying, you know what? I am not above any sin. It is very possible that today I'm very good with my prayers and tomorrow may not be that great. It's very possible that fasting is the best thing and I love it so much today and I've loved it my entire life, but maybe this year is not that great. It's very possible for that to happen to me. And because it's possible, I need to make sure that I have a strong relationship with Allah. That even when I'm not feeling it, I have the discipline to still do the right thing. Because that is what God wants from us. Yes, he wants us to have a close relationship with him that we feel. But even if you don't feel it, you still have to submit to Allah. And for them, they're seeing something that is so beautiful, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who created it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who created Yusuf alayhi salam. And God is telling you that this is not okay. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who determines our morals and our values. And with God being the one telling you, don't do this, but you're like, well, I can't help myself. Well, of course you're not going to be able to help yourself because you're giving yourself excuses. There was in no way, shape, or form did they make any effort to even stop what they were doing. In fact, they kept going and pushing forward. So there's that one aspect of it where we cannot see something that happens and someone that does something bad and think of ourselves to be above it. We need to make dua to Allah that Allah does not put us in that situation. The 7 o'clock alarm is back. Okay. The second aspect of it, though, is what is the reaction of Yusuf alayhi salam? Because imagine Yusuf alayhi salam comes from a household that his brothers are extremely jealous of him. He's already gone through a lot of difficulty. He's thrown into a well. He ends up in a home of people he does not know. He gets comfortable in that home, grows up there, gets this level of maturity, now can think forward as a young man, is probably ready to like move on with his life. And the one person who was supposed to be his safe space is trying to seduce him. That gets cleared up. He says, you know what? It's fine. We'll avoid each other. I'll go my way. She goes her way. Now he's in the situation where not just one woman is approaching him, multiple women are approaching him, and they're telling him, like, you either do this or you go to jail. Now, maybe a well is not a jail cell, but it feels a lot like an imprisonment because he doesn't know when he's going to get out of there. Even though Allah SWT tells him, you're going to be okay. That's amazing, yes. But Allah SWT did not give him a timeline. He didn't tell him somebody's going to come pick you up today. So it could have been like, you're going to be okay. You'll get out of here. You'll be malnourished, broken down a little bit, but you'll get out of here. Sure, Yusuf alayhi salam would have been grateful. So now he's in the depths of this well. He has no food. He has no one around him. Imagine you grew up in a house full of boys, and now all of a sudden you're in the depths of quiet. That's shocking for any person. For any person. By himself. So now years later, someone's telling him either you commit this wrong act and you do this, or that imprisonment that I once saved you from, I'm gonna take you back there. But now as an adult, and you will have no freedom, you will have nothing to you. Yusuf alayhi salam's response, he says, Qala Rabbi. He says, oh my Lord, right? He calls upon Allah, but he doesn't just call upon Allah by saying Allahumma, oh Allah. Even though the name Allah, Lafdul Jalala, it is inclusive of all of God's characteristics. It is inclusive of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala being ever so merciful. It is inclusive of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala being ever so compassionate. Of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala being Al-Razak, the provider, Al-Wahhab, the one who gives gifts, As-Salam, the source of peace. It's inclusive of everything. But using the word Rabb is very different. It's almost acknowledging a specific type of characteristic of Allah towards you. And that is the characteristic of someone who's always taking care of you. So Yusuf alayhi salam calls upon Allah by saying, Ya Rabbi, call Rabbi, my Lord, oh, the one who has always taken care of me. I've been in multiple situations. There's been things that have happened. There have been less than ideal situations. I've been literally abandoned by my family. But you have been constant. You have been the one to be there to nourish me, to give me every single thing that I've needed. Then he says, a sijinu, prison, أَحَبُّ إِلَيَّ مِمَّا يَدْعُونَنِي إِلَيْهِ. Prison is more beloved to me. He didn't say I would prefer prison. Okay? He said prison is more beloved to me than what they are calling me towards. He didn't say if the option is prison or do this, I guess I have to go with the option of prison. That's not what he said. He said it's more beloved to me. Why? Because what is the most beloved to Yusuf alayhi salam is being where Allah wants him to be. That is what's most beloved to him. What is most beloved to Yusuf alayhi salam is doing what Allah has asked him to do. We have to ask ourselves, do we have that dedication to our faith? Are we capable and able to not commit and do the things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has forbidden us from doing by putting aside our nafs and putting Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for it first? That's the question. It's as if Yusuf alayhi salam didn't even have to think about it. You want to lock me up? Let's go. Because what you're trying to ask me to do, that's like a different ball game. I'm not playing with Allah. And if anybody tries to come between him and Allah, he is showing that that is not going to happen. This is a hard line. Now, what's interesting is that we spend years making people comfortable with getting in between our relationship between us and God. And we do it in the name of, well, I don't want to offend them. I'm just gonna dress like this because I don't know what they're gonna say. I don't wanna scare them off. Who told you guidance was in your hands? And who asked you to make that your responsibility? Your responsibility is when you turn up to Allah, you come before God, and he asks you, did you dress how I asked you to dress? Did you speak in the way I asked you to speak? Did you pray in the way I asked you to pray? Did you carry yourself in the way I asked you to carry yourself? That you're able to say, Ya Allah, I tried my best. Not always perfect. Not, oh Allah, I didn't make any mistakes in life. No, I tried my best. But if you stand there and you say, well, so-and-so really wanted me to do X, Y, and Z, guess what? It's not going to get you very far. It's not going to get you very far. So Yusuf alayhi salam is willing to be in a less than ideal, even worse than less than ideal situation. He's willing to reopen his trauma and deal with that than to commit such an egregious sin and wrong, that would be something that would get in between his relationship between him and God. And then he brings something very powerful. He says, "Wa illa tasrif anni kaydahunna." If you do not turn their plot away from me, asbu ilayhinna, I'm afraid that I can incline towards them. And what is powerful about that is that Yusuf alayhi salam is a prophet. Prophets do not sin. They do not sin. They do not make these egregious wrongs. They don't do that. they're considered to have this level of protection from Allah. But Yusuf alayhi salam doesn't take that and say, I'm good. I can actually stay in this situation over and over again and nothing will happen. He doesn't do that. Why? Because the protection he has is from who? It's from Allah. The protection he has is from Allah. He's like, Allah, I don't want to be compromised. There's something bigger. There's something better. There's a mission at stake. And at this point, Yusuf alayhi salam has not been appointed as a prophet. At this point, he has not been appointed as a prophet. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says he's given him what? Maturity. And he's given him wisdom. And he's given him knowledge. The second thing that is really important here is that Yusuf alayhi salam tells Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that this is an entire plan. Sometimes people plot against you. They really do. Haters are real out there. But to be a person that is obsessed with what someone else is doing also is a little weird. It is. Because can you control somebody else's action? You really can't. Can you control what someone else is doing? You really can't. So Yusuf alayhi salam doesn't try to control what they're doing. He doesn't. Why? Because he sees that these people are gung-ho and stuck on what they want to do. And because they're stuck on doing this action and this wrong, he says, Allah, you have to turn this plan away from me. And then he says, wa an akum min al jahilin, and I could become of those who are ignorant. Now, jahiliyah, most times people understand it as a time before the enlightenment of Islam, where a person may have done some things or engaged in some things that they didn't know was impermissible. But here, does Yusuf alayhi salam know this is impermissible? Yeah? It's also giving the understanding that the woman also knew this was wrong. But he still says that this is like jahiliyyah. You know why? Because it's actually the absence of faith. It is the absence of the light of iman. When you have a heart that allows your faith to shine through, your limbs follow through. This is what the Prophet says. He says that there is a morsel of flesh in the body of a human. And if that thing is either fa'idha salahat, if it's sound, if it's free of disease, right? If it's good, then the entire body follows through. But either fasadat, if it's corrupt, if it's diseased, and if it's something that is poorly taken care of, then the entire body follows through. Why? Because you, what you have in your heart is what determines how you speak to people. What determines how you interact. It determines what your transactions are like. It determines what you watch. It determines what you read. It determines what you listen to. It determines how you raise your kids. It determines what you go to school for. It determines your intentionality behind life. It determines how you dress, how you wake up, how you eat, how you put on your shoes. Every single aspect of your life is now led by this little morsel of flesh in your body. And if that morsel of flesh cannot allow the light to shine through because it's been covered up with so much disease, so much corruption, so much haram, then guess what? You start to walk around in the most ignorant manner. When someone sees someone acting ignorantly, it's as if they have no morals. It's as if they have no values. It's as if they have no manners. It's as if they have no character. But what does our deen teach us? Morals, values, character, manners, how we are as a person. So Yusuf alayhi salam says that this act, what they're calling towards, their plan, is not just about the one act. It's about changing the trajectory of who I am as a person. These types of things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about in the Quran, be it alcohol, drinking, be it gambling, be it zina, they're a lifestyle. It takes a lifestyle to maintain it. This is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, ijtanibuhu. stay far away from it. He doesn't just say that it's a sin. He doesn't just say it's a sin. He says what? Ijtanibuhu. When he talks about khamar, he says ijtanibuhu. Why? Because rijsun, it is a filth. It is something that infiltrates your entire life. It changes who you are as a person. It is as if that moral that you had or those values that you once stood on mean nothing to you anymore. So much so that your mind is now switched. And all of a sudden, it's something that is promoted. You ever think about why the most popular shows are vile and disgusting? The most popular songs are vile and disgusting? The most popular books are even more disgusting? Why? Because this is a lifestyle. The most popular podcasts are dumb, for lack of better words. They're very uneducated people. You can have a master's degree in all the million things you want, but have zero morality, then you're not very smart. But these are the things that people are listening to. Why? Because it calls a person towards their nafs, the part of them that doesn't want to do good. And that part of you then takes over, and now this is the entire lifestyle. So Yusuf alayhi salam says, oh my Lord, just, I don't want any of it. I don't want the lifestyle. I don't want the plan. I don't want the littlest of the plan. I would rather be in prison. I will rather you lock me up. There's no time limit on this prison. There's no understanding if he will ever get out. Now, there are narrations of the Prophet where the Prophet says that, listen, a situation occurs, then ask for afia. Right? Ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for things that are good, wellness. Ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give you a good heart. Ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to take you out of the situation. You don't have to, you guys here, 0 to 100, ask for the worst thing. You're faced with a trial, something hard. You're like, oh Allah, put me in the depths of the earth. No, okay? Don't do that. Yusuf alayhi salam is a prophet, and he's in a dire situation. But the Prophet teaches us, we ask for what? Afia, wealth, well-being, for sure. But the reason why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shows us this level of desperation that Yusuf alayhi salam asked for is for us to also know that even though he has the protection of God, he too recognized that this is a very human thing. And if I don't protect myself and ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for his protection, I don't know if I'm going to make it through. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَاسْتَجَابَ لَهُ, that his Lord then responded to him. فَصَرَفَ عَنْهُ كَيْدَهُنَّ, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala turned their path, turned their plan away from him. إِنَّهُ هُوَ السَّمِيعُ الْعَلِيمُ, because truly Allah is the one who's all hearing. Yusuf alayhi salam made a dua, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَاسْتَجَابَ لَهُ, the fa here, sababiyah, causation, it consequential. He made a dua, Allah answered his dua. That's the first thing. The second thing is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave himself two characteristics. As-Sami', he's all hearing of what the dua that Yusuf alayhi salam made. Al-Alim, how this is going to end up. He's all knowing. He's aware of what happened, what they did. He's aware of where their plan was going to end up or where they wanted it to end up. He's also all knowing of how long Yusuf alayhi salam is going to be in prison. He's also all knowing of what this means for Yusuf alayhi salam. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, ثُمَّ بَدَى لَهُم مِّن بَعْدِ مَا رَأُوا الْآيَاتِ, that then it appeared to them after they had seen the signs, that لَيَسْجُنَنَّهُ حَتَّى هِينَ, that the Aziz will surely imprison him for some time. It became known that Yusuf alayhi salam was going to go to prison. As in, he didn't actually give them an answer. He didn't give them an answer. He immediately went and made dua to Allah. He didn't turn to them and say, I'd rather die than look at your face. No. Because that wasn't going to change their plan. They were still going to try to convince him. Yusuf alayhi salam went and he turned to the one that could help him, and that is Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Ma'arij, إِنَّ الْإِنسَانَ خُلِقَ خَلُوعًا, that indeed mankind was created, and they're created in a way of like angst, like always jumping to things. إِذَا مَسَّهُ أَشَرُّ جَزُوعًا, And when evil touches them in the least bit, they become impatient and they become judgmental and they become this way of like, well, why this and why that? وَإِذَا مَسَّهُ الْخَيْرُ مَنُوعًا. But when good comes to them, then they want to withhold it. They want to withhold it. They want to hold it close. Well, I'm great and I'm amazing. And this person's this and that person's that. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِلَّا الْمُسَلِّمِ. The only way that a person does not be this way is by praying. Because prayer is humbling. Prayer is humbling. You go into sajda and you're saying, Subhana Rabbi al-A'la, how perfect is the one who is ever so high, elevated, while you're in the lowest place that you can be. When you go into ruku, you're saying, Subhana Rabbi al-Azim, how perfect is the one who is ever so mighty and so strong. While you're in a compromising position, imagine a kid comes like a bowling ball to hit you. You gone, okay? Especially if you're like above 30, you're out. I'm just going to count you out real quick, right? But you're starting the prayer and you're saying, Allahu Akbar. Allah is greater than. Allah is greater than my problems. Allah is greater than this thing that tried to take me away from prayer. Allah is greater than my issues. Allah is greater than whatever it is. Allah is greater than. So your salah is humbling. It allows you to know that you're only human. Okay, you're just a girl. You're only human. You can make mistakes. Allah is the one who forgives. Allah is the one who gives power. Allah is the one who gives a person the ability to have this level of control. And it's you turning to Allah. But you don't just pray one time. Yes, prayer is a cure, absolutely. Someone stands up to pray, they say, I don't feel it. Take your antibiotics one time and go back to the doctor and let me know what the doctor said. She's going to call you crazy and say, you have to keep taking it. So what did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala add? أَلَّذِينَ هُمْ عَلَىٰ صَلَاتِهِمْ دَائِمُونَ. That they're the ones, when it comes to their prayer, they're consistent. They're consistent and they're persistent. When something is important to you, you make it an important part of your life. You plan your day around it. You make sure that people don't interrupt it. You ever get an important call and someone's talking to you, you're like, do you not see what's happening right now? How dare you have a conversation with me? That's your salah. Don't interrupt it. Why? Because there's a lot riding on that prayer, actually. It is not just my check-in with Allah. It is my recentering of my being and who I am. It is not just a simple conversation with God, even though that in and of itself is amazing. But it is the strength that you get through your days and get through who you are as a person. It is not just a mini workout and stretch, okay? It's not that. It is actually your livelihood in terms of your relationship with God. It has everything to do with how you are as a believer and as a person who exists in this world. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then says in Surah Al-Rahman, and we'll stop here. I mean, Surah Al-Furqan, we'll stop here because prayer times. He says, وَعِبَادُ الرَّحْمَنِ الَّذِينَ يَمْشُونَ عَلَى الْأَرْضِ هَوْنًا. That the beloved servants of God, Ibadur Rahman is so beautiful. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala really loves someone, he calls them his beloved servant. So for instance, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about bringing the Quran down to the Prophet, he typically talks about it by saying abdahu, his servant, right? And when we hear that, we think, oh, this, that, like we bring all our anxieties into this conversation. Put them to the side. Put them to the side. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is referring to you as his beloved servant, he is saying that you have abided by the things that he's asked you to. Therefore, he's excited to reward you. Therefore, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is excited to give you Jannah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is excited to be able to increase you in whatever it is that you want. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is excited to answer your du'as. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is excited for you to come closer to him. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is excited to put khayr in your life. That's what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying. So when he says, my beloved servant, or وَعِبَادُ الرَّحْمَنِ, the beloved servants of the most merciful, الَّذِينَ يَمْشُونَ عَلَى الْأَرْضِ هَوْنًا. They're the ones who, when they are in this earth, they walk very humbly. Now, walking humbly doesn't mean that you put your back over. In fact, Umar bin Khattab radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he once saw a young man walking like he was broken. And he asked him, "Are you hurt?" And he said, "No, I'm walking humbly." Umar bin Khattab punched him in the chest. He said, "What is wrong with you? Stand up straight." The Prophet walked with stature. The Prophet walked with stature, like he had a long stride. He did not rush, nor did he walk slowly. That was who the Prophet was. He walked like with a man on a mission, a man with a purpose. And Umar bin Khattab was like, "You're like a little kid over here pretending. This is not what humbly means." But rather, humble, so interesting, because typically this is the second, this will be described as the second characteristic. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says right after this, وَإِذَا خَاطَبَهُمُ الْجَاهِلُونَ قَالُوا سَلَامًا. When someone who has no type of like understanding, they're ignorant, speaks to them, they respond with peace. Now some say, respond with words of peace, while others say, respond with the exiting of peace. As in like, assalamu alaikum, like this is not for me. If you want to have this conversation, that's great. You can have it with the wall. I'm going to go. You know why I think this is so powerful? Because when we talk about humility, a lot of times we're exploring it from the aspect of, okay, I'm just nothing and like this, and I'm not that great, and I'm not that this, and I'm not that. What happens when you're in a situation where you actually know something? You know something. Someone's telling you, talking to you in a way that is like, I don't know, not that great. Yusuf alayhi salam is in a situation, right? He knows that this is wrong. Does he stand there and give them a lecture? Well, let me tell you all the reasons why this is haram. No. What did he do? He exited. Why? Because part of being humble is recognizing that I cannot get myself in a situation. So when someone comes to you, and remember we talked about the word jahil, it actually has an understanding of being void of faith. You're void of this light, this nur. And someone's acting very ignorantly. And they truly know right and wrong. But for them, they're convinced that wrong is the right way. And you're standing there trying to have a conversation with them about this wrong that they're convinced on. Do you know who looks like the ignorant person now? You do. All because you couldn't humble yourself. All because you couldn't just walk away from the conversation. And now you're in a compromising situation. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, don't compromise yourself. It's not worth it. Submit to God. Be consistent with your prayers. Make sincere dua. Avoid judgment. Avoid judgment. Sincere dua. Consistent with your prayers. Submit to God. Avoid judgment. I pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allows us to benefit from everything that we've heard here today. I pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgives us of our shortcomings. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allows us to be people who are always on the right side of history. I pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgives us of all the wrongs that we've done in our life, and that those of us who have family members who have passed away, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala fills their grave with light. I pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala provides mercy and compassion to those who are being oppressed around the world, and that He destroys the oppressors that are around the world. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brings to light the wrongs that cannot be forgiven, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allows us to see a free Palestine in our lifetime. I pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allows us to see those of our brothers and sisters who are being harmed around the world, that they are freed of that harm and that oppression, that we are able to gather in the gathering much better than this and drink from the blessed hands of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Subhanakallahumma bihamdika nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk. Jazakallahu khairan. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Okay, we don't have time for questions today, unfortunately, but Maghrib is right now. Inshallah. Assalamu alaikum.